Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Foggy Bottom Pictures presents the Scary Octopus Records Halloween Hootenanny. Join us Saturday, September 28th at the Tally Ho Theater in Leesburg for a night of music and spooky hijinks. Enjoy performances from Sonny Ledford, the Pie Tasters, and Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band, all in support of the good people at Mission 22. Don't miss the 12-inch Halloween Hootenanny official record release featuring new music from the Pie Tasters, Reverend Peyton, Sonny Ledford, and Ponytails and Cocktails. There will be giveaways, a silent auction, exclusive merchandise, and much more. VIP tickets have already sold out, so get your tickets now before it's too late at www.tallyhotheater.com.
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
Wildcats are really putting that foot to the Bulldogs. I hadn't really paid attention to the score in the countdown video there, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, belt to ass right there. That's what it looked like.
I was, hello, Tor, how are you?
Doing well.
All things considered?
Even all things considered. Yeah, it's not great.
I think you're wrong, and I'm going to tell you why. I think the Ravens are one of the best teams in the AFC, and they have the same record as the Falcons. I think the Falcons winning close games is going to happen the longer they have time to be together, because I think that it is proven that they have the talent. They're making some kind of Bijan Robinson needs to be on the field all the time. And I think they'll get there. Mooney's a factor for this team. He's a guy you brought in and he played well. And, you know, they were right there at the end of that game. We'll get to the PI and everything else that happened. But I think that if you're looking at a large sample size, I don't want to spoil anything, but one of my big stories of this week is the Seahawks are 3-0. If you look at the Seahawks schedule, they're not going to be a team that wins 12 games, even though they're 3-0 right now. I think conversely, if you watch the Falcons, I hope you can tell they're better off than they have been and probably will win more close games than they will lose. At least it looks that way to me.
They are. It's just, it felt like a big narrative game, and they do a lot of things that I just wish they wouldn't do. And conversely, I just need to see more targets to Kyle Pitts, because I think the offense is just going to be so easy for other teams to work around and figure out if there's not one more guy that can make an impact. And him having like two catches you just can't happen. There's something wrong with his routes.
That's his whole career, man. That's his whole fucking career.
It's just what he is, I guess. But seeing seeing Kirk unleash the deep ball a little bit, That's great. I like seeing him take shots. It may be in a couple weeks. Maybe what we thought that when the Jets would turn it on is when Atlanta really decides to turn it on, week 7, week 8. And that's the difference between Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins coming off injuries. One is Aaron Rodgers and the other is Kirk Cousins.
I saw he tied some Dan Marino like 8th fastest to... They're going to write a documentary about Kirk Cousins' career, and it's going to be very difficult to... Your kids... Like, for me, if I had kids, I was going to sit down and tell them about Joe Montana, and that'd be a very easy conversation, right? Mm-hmm. How the fuck do you explain to your kids Kirk Cousins just piling stats up to the rafters and not being respected, and him able to just leave teams left and right because they're like, nah, all right, go someplace else and make more money? It's a very unique career that he's compiled for himself.
I would say so, and the grass has been greener, I'd say, at every destination so far. He's leaving when teams are crumbling. And I'm excited for him to leave when Atlanta starts crumbling in 2 years. It's going to be great. See him get a Super Bowl ring as a backup on the Chiefs. That's exactly how it all goes down.
Welcome to both types of sports with Shoot and Tor, football discussion on the internet. In case you have forgotten that we Forgotten.
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
That's us, the most emo football show on the planet. If you are not watching live, you can watch live. It is at Chad Duke Show on YouTube. We go live generally around this time on Monday, and then we do a show Thursday most of the time, and then a show on Sunday, which we had a lot of fun yesterday, Tor. Johnny Cake Sawbill was our guest and stopped by and talked some football with us. That was a lot of fun chopping it up with Cax.
It was a blast, especially for how awkward the 1 p.m. slate was with a bunch of weird scores and bad teams doing weird things and bad team things. But I thought it was definitely a really fun show. And you can check it out as a Facebook, YouTube subscriber on the channel.
I want to make this very clear. The Panthers still suck a bag of them. I mean, I really am disgusted with my fellow football fans. And maybe it's just because Tor with an X account and a StreamYard account and a YouTube account, everyone has stopped being a fan and they've become Ian Rappaport. Mm-hmm. Or even, you know, they want to be Pat McAfee, you know, they want to be the bombastic over the top. And it went from the Panthers are an evil fucking empire that's just out to ruin and destroy young athletes to Bryce Young is a pile of shit. And Andy Dalton went out there and showed everybody that he's the real problem and get his dwarf ass off this. I mean, the narrative switched so quickly because the guy that's been doing it for 14 years went out there and threw to Deontay Johnson against a team that really has an identity issue. And I've got the clip from Antonio Pierce, and I really hope we learn more about this because Antonio Pierce took a big L, I think, in that, but in front of that podium. But wow, the narrative surrounding the Panthers for so many people to unironically 180 their asses on social media and just start spewing vitriol in the opposite direction. Quite staggering to watch yesterday and today.
Yeah, I think a lot of it stems from Andy Dalton and how bad he was as a backup on the Saints, where he was throwing pick sixes all over the place, which was like the highlight of my football career. I couldn't get enough of it. It was fantastic seeing them be that bad. And then, okay, he's going to just kind of cash a check, collect a check in Carolina. Maybe he'll get it in a game. And now he does. And he's the first quarterback to go for 303 touchdowns on the young season. It had enough behind it, especially with if Bryce Young was taken in the second round, right? This would not have been a huge deal. But since he was taken one overall and then subsequently benched so early into the year, and to have such an opposite reaction from the team where they go out and they win a game against a team that just beat the Ravens, I could see where the hyperbole was coming from a lot of people because it's the NFL. It's the best theater possible in the world.
Here's what I know. I don't trust any of these fucking teams other than the Chiefs. I mean, you can't trust the 49ers. We're going to talk about the Ravens. Coach G is going to join us. Our buddy Glenn Clark used to be the producer for Big O and Dukes, now does his own thing up in Baltimore, interviews all the big wigs. I don't trust the Ravens as far as I can throw them right now, Tor. I mean, it's great to see Derrick Henry stiff-arming people and trucking linebackers and being Derrick Henry, but I watched that whole game. They desperately wanted to piss down the side of their leg and let the Cowboys roared back into that game. If the Cowboys could have stopped being the Cowboys for 13 minutes instead mm-hmm. of 8 minutes, they win that game. And it's one of the biggest collapses that we've ever seen. And the Ravens are 0-3.
Yeah. The, going into the game, into the week, the Ravens beating the Cowboys was like the most cement thing that I had going. And it's for the first half and through the third quarter, I'm sitting here like, oh man, I'm a smart guy. Look at me. I'm walking on my two feet, you know, knowing my ball. And then the Ravens start just forgetting everything that they do and then let the Cowboys just crawl back into it. And I start feeling like a buffoon all over again, having this much confidence in Baltimore.
He sure does look. I mean, I don't like that Baltimore uniform, but fucking King Henry makes it look dope, man. It's all black and shiny with the mirrors and the fucking face mask and the shit and the biceps. And he just fucking looks so cool. We do accept super chats. I would like the chat to be more lively during our show. So if we could work on that, you sons of bitches, hit that like button. First of all, cool story, bros. $1.99. Happy Monday, all. Normalize good football info tax. Okay. So is he claiming we provide good football information? Because we do a lot of discussion of breakfast foods and penis and occasionally do some screaming about football. But I don't know if If you're coming for really solid Warren Sharp like football analysis, not sure this is the right place, but do appreciate the super chat.
Yeah, this is more reactionary. I think that there's a good amount of common sense thrown into it, but sure. I wouldn't put a tax on this program yet.
Impulsive arm waving, though. I would say there's some of that. Jeff Nelms, thank you for the $4.99 super chat. Greatest football discussion on the internet. If that were the case, sir, these episodes would get more than 300 views. But we're going to keep on trucking because what else are we going to do? Thank you, Jeff Nelms, for the $4.99 super chat. And there's Jonathan O'Connor with the $4.99er. Love the podcast. Keep up the goodest work. Thank you so much. Very, very kind of you. Hope you guys are subscribing to iTunes and Spotify and all that good shit. And thank you for the super chat, Jonathan O'Connor. You're a mensch's mensch. So I had a question to ask you, Torn. It was based on this, because I saw this making the rounds on NFL Twitter. This is Derrick Henry's diet since he has been with the Ravens. He spends $250,000 on his health. Not sure what that means. Maybe he bought a Peloton. No fried food, no dairy, no gluten, no artificial sugars. Doesn't eat till 4 or 5 p.m. during the season. I don't know how he keeps that level of muscle mass, if that is the case, but I'm going to take him at his word. Eats an avocado or a banana before practice. I'm sure to get all the antioxidants and potassium, that good natural sugars, I assume. I was looking at that today as I was unwrapping a bacon, egg, and cheese that I bought from the bagel place down the street. And I added grilled chicken to it because I'm like, let me be real healthy here. Is there anything, I know a bacon, egg, and cheese bagel tour is not my favorite food.
Yeah.
But as far as hitting when it's really good, I put it, if we're doing a power ranking, man, it's up there with the Buffalo Bills. Like, it's not one, but it's in the top 3 to 5, and it could probably beat anybody on the slate. A bacon, egg, and cheese when it's hot and everything works is close to the pinnacle of food, in my opinion.
I would say even if it's cooled off, when the cheese gets congealed and almost forms a new entity with the egg and the bagel itself, I don't know if that gets better. That goop is I could take a gallon of it and eat it, and that's why I don't look like Derrick Henry.
Sure.
But everyone freaking out about carbohydrates, it's different because he works out in a completely different fashion. That's what I would expect Derrick Henry, looking at him, if he had a plan like that. Okay. And if he said, yeah, I just eat chicken and steak and fish all day, every day, I would also agree with it. He's got it dialed. It's a professional athlete that really cares about staying a professional athlete.
If you didn't eat until 5 every day, how large is the meal? I mean, I would undo all the good work I did from 8 o'clock to 5 because it would be just 4,000 calories before I even swallowed, before I even managed to figure out what I was doing.
That's the tour farewell tour, where it was 2 Chick-fil-A sandwiches, got to throw the mac and cheese. Why not put fries with it? And then the biggest sweet tea that you have to offer. And that's the 5 p.m. meal. And there won't be any left for later. It's just going to all go down in about 15 minutes. 7 minutes.
Yeah, 15 is being really, you're patting yourself on the back quite a bit there. Just bring me a bucket of sweet tea. Like, as a matter of fact, just empty whatever you have into this bathtub that I've provided. I brought this kiddie pool. Fill it with lemonade. Corey Reed, a $4.99 super chat. Thank you, buddy. King Henry diet would be a good challenge for Jimmy and Ant to try for a week. I think it's a good challenge for anybody, because if you're fasting right around 3 to 5 o'clock is when that motherfucker starts whooping your ass. And you really have to, it's nut cutting time, as Sean Salisbury would say. Thank you, Corey Reed, for the super chat. Much obliged. Alex J. Gow, $5. I'm curious as to what your thoughts on Monday Night Football spending all that money to get Joe Buck and Troy Aikman just to have Peyton and Eli on ESPN2. That is a very interesting question, Tor. I think these television networks know that people are watching all over the place. And I remember when I was we were doing radio, and the second screen experience was a term that everybody threw around. That's gone, because it's just known you're going to be looking at your phone. You're going to have a laptop out. You're going to have a tablet. A lot of sports fans have multiple TVs. I understand what Alex is saying. Maybe if you're going to have Peyton and Eli doing their hang with Bill Belichick that everybody really seems to like, maybe you don't need to fork over so much money for Buck and Aikman. Maybe you go with like some lesser tiered guys, but if they've got the clearly the NFL is making everybody money no matter who's calling it.
Yeah, I think Buck and Aikman are the best in the game when a Kelsey isn't involved. And the Peyton and Eli show, it seems to be for clips and for Peyton's production company,
yep.
Omaha Productions, to put out. Like last week, it was actually, I saw the benefit of it, where the Atlanta game-winning drive, his Twitter, the Omaha Productions Twitter account and YouTube, put up that 3-minute and 40-second drive where it was Peyton, Eli, and Matt Ryan watching them go down the field, and it was very entertaining. And I could see, like, oh, this is why somebody would tune in, and this is why you have the show on tape, so you can post out, you could post something cool like this. I don't think that it's getting a huge rating compared to the traditional Monday Night Football broadcast. I don't know why it would. It shouldn't. But for that purpose, in the clippable media world where it's all about who could put out the most entertaining 5 minutes, it serves a purpose. So I can understand why they have it.
It reminds me, Tor, of why late night talk shows still exist. Like the ratings yeah. for all of them are not good. Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, whoever you like, Stephen Colbert. Is he Stephen Colbert still? Or is he still doing a character? I feel like he just screams. But it's more to feed their YouTube channels. You know, it's yeah. to get the viral clips out there and to get the next Justin Timberlake with Jimmy Fallon song out in that fashion. I feel like we're not looking at media the same way that everyone else is for every show out there. And Manning and their celebrity little guests. You're right. It's for those crazy moments where somebody cracks wise. Or I do have a video of Peyton Manning that I want to play for you. I think you know the one I'm talking about, where he walked out to the Morgan Wallen concert in his fucking Volunteers uniform and put his yeah. helmet on like he was about to play football. I have mixed emotions about that. But our buddy Glenn Clark is here, so I want to bring him into the conversation, even though he appears to be taking an ice pick and scratching it down the front of the microphone, at least by the sounds of it. You all right there, Glenn?
I think I'm all right. You good? Everything good?
I can't hide the comment, so no, it's not. There he is. Good to see you, buddy. This is the first time we've seen you, right, on the show?
Yeah, I couldn't keep everybody deprived of this beautiful lazy eye. I could not continue that to be the case. The world deserves more of this, you know?
Oh, boy. The question that we were talking about right before you came on is we were all speculating by all, I mean, Tor and I, speculating as to how long we could last on the Derrick Henry diet and then what we would eat at the 4 to 5 o'clock portion of the day to break that fast. How the fuck is he built like a minotaur if he's only eating for an hour a day? It would seem to me he would constantly need to be ingesting protein.
Yeah, we've had producers the size of his thighs over yeah. the years. It seems impossible. We tried talking to him about it. I think he always goes on about how normal it is for him, like how this is just the I don't know how the metabolism works. I didn't pay nearly enough attention in anatomy class over the years to understand how this is humanly possible. But yeah, one avocado, and he looks like that. It makes no sense, man. I'm telling you, Chad. And I know you're a Derrick Henry guy. I know you're dying lifelong. You love Derrick Henry. I don't know if it still fills the cup for you. When I stand next to Derrick Henry, I still have that feeling of that's not a human. Like, that just doesn't look like this person is from the same species as us.
He's humble bragging the shit out of me right now, Tor, that he's standing next to Derrick Henry on a regular basis. Jorge Gonzalez pissed the Cowboys Correct. Didn't kick a second 65-yard field goal. There's a lot to talk about with the Cowboys. We'll do that in just a moment. One of the things I wanted to bring up now that Glenn is here and then we can all give our thoughts is this fucking quote that came out after the game yesterday. And look, I like the fact that Jerry Jones doesn't give a shit. We're all in. And then he's blaming everybody about Dak's contract. And he's talking about athletes' hogs. But stop treating us like we're morons. Don't tell your fan base that just watched Derrick Henry truck your entire line and secondary to the tune of 100-plus yards, 2 touchdowns, and look good doing it, that you couldn't pay Derrick Henry when you're paying all this other superfluous shit, which, of course, is chronicled on this this tweet. Start with you, Tor. When you hear Jerry Jones say these things, are they still, because he's not the owner of the team I root for, they're entertaining to me, but I also don't like getting treated like an asshole. I feel like he's trying to treat his fan base like they're assholes right here.
Yeah, all offseason, Dallas fans were restless, wondering where the big acquisition was going to come in free agency, because Dallas likes to make a bit of a splash every now and then, especially with how poor their drafts have been recently. Outside of the offensive line standpoint, obviously. So they were looking for a running back. Okay, Tony Pollard's gone. Who are we bringing in, Jerry? When are we bringing him? And then July, June, Cowboys fans are videotaping crying in their cars, which was phenomenal, about how Derrick Henry, as soon as he got signed by the Ravens, they start looking at what they have. Oh, this isn't right. This isn't an NFL backfield that's going to compete to win. And why don't we have the ability to do this? We're the Dallas Cowboys. We're the most valuable franchise in all of sport. It felt like that there was some weird trickery that Dallas's front office is trying to pull off this offseason. It still is baffling to me how little that they tried to improve through free agency.
Go ahead, Glenn. I wanted to ask you before you answer that too. The slow build, he scored a touchdown each week too, but talk a little bit about how it looks to me like he's finally, not only he's becoming comfortable with what the Ravens want to do, they're becoming more comfortable with how you should use a guy like Derrick Henry in that offense.
So a couple of things, Chad, because it's funny, I think the real complaint that I heard from a lot of Cowboys fans was that, like, where was the middle ground? Like, if it wasn't Derrick Henry, first of all, we're all experts now in cognitive decline in this country because, you know, why not? Like, the man's 81. Jerry Jones is 81 years old. We do have to, like, think about that at some point and how much he's actually capable of, like, even forming thoughts at this point. But yeah, seriously, my God. But where was the middle ground? Where was the, they did nothing. And I think that was the Cowboys fans' biggest issue. Okay, if it's not Derrick Henry, do something. Because I do think there has been a warranted debate about whether or not it's worth spending significant money at running back. Even in Baltimore, there has been a debate about whether or not Derrick Henry was the best way to go about addressing this team's needs in the offseason, or did they need another wide receiver? Did they need maybe any offensive lineman? And I think that was part of the problem, Chad, in the first 2 weeks, is that they had to replace 3/5 of their starting offensive line, and they did it without any experience in any of those positions. 3 completely inexperienced offensive linemen to start the season, Patrick McCary at right tackle, Andrew Voorhees at left guard, and Daniel Fa'alele at right guard, who was disastrous in the first 2 weeks of the season. So I think that played a big role in their ability to get this going with Derrick Henry. The Cowboys were a perfect opponent in order to get it going because they don't stop the run, and it worked very well. But they still have to prove that they can do that week in and week out with this young group. And I think that there's a bigger conversation. Okay, fine. It's not Derrick Henry. No big deal in Dallas. But do something. They trotted out Dalvin Cook as an option in the year of our Lord 2024.
If you let Derrick Henry go for 25 and $151, you lose by 3 points. My only point would be is if I'm Dallas, let's say we didn't want to sign Derrick Henry. We know Derrick Henry wanted to play there. We know Derrick Henry said, hey, they didn't call me at all. I think I would just handle it better. I think I'd come out and say, yeah, man, he played great. We'd like to have him on this team. It didn't work out that way. We had a lot of issues. We had to pay a lot of guys. I don't think it's just the lack of the ability to realize that saying less sometimes is saying more by that man is always entertaining. And if it's not Derrick Henry, well, let's take a look at what happened to Minnesota yesterday. I mean, let's take a look at what Joe Mixon's done in Houston. It's not worth spending money on running backs. Well, tell that to San Francisco and what they gave Christian McCaffrey money again this past offseason. That paradigm's shifted a little bit.
I agree that it shifted, but look at how much trouble they've been in since Christian McCaffrey got hurt, right? The argument being that do you need to have a better running system? In L.A., they decided to take on the Ravens castoffs, J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, who had dealt with injury issues at a much smaller dollar figure, brought in Greg Roman, and they've run the ball quite well for the first couple weeks of the season. I don't know exactly where it ends up lining up. And if Derrick Henry is going to run like this all season long and the Ravens are going to be in great shape, you and I talked before, I think the Ravens did this with an eye on January. This is what they were thinking about by going and getting Derrick Henry as someone who is still going to be good to run the ball a bunch in January. And that could be the difference in how you keep Patrick Mahomes off the field and how you might be able to beat the Chiefs in a game that matters. So I think the Ravens might end up having made a very good decision here. But I do think that there is still warranted debate on both sides about how much money you should be spending specifically on running back versus finding an undervalued running back and trying to get something more out of them.
Glenn, do you think that this game where the play calling was so skewed for Baltimore, 15 pass attempts to 45 rushing attempts, which for them, I personally love, and I would like to see them carry it on. Do you think they stick with this and just decide we're going to keep on beating you to the dirt, or do they try to work towards a more balanced offensive look?
I think they're going to want to be more balanced. I do think this was very unique to the opponent and unique to the success they were having, right? They started pulling away from the Cowboys in the first quarter. And so once you're able to do that, you're obviously able to run the ball more. In their heart, the Ravens would love to be that team. They'd love to be the team playing bully ball. That's what they did over the last couple of seasons, during the regular season anyway. They would love to be able to stockpile that and then put games away in the second half. But it has to be successful. It wasn't successful in weeks one and week two, and they had to go away from it. So I think that'll be opponent specific. I think they'd love to be able to do this, but I don't think it's practical that each week you're going to be able to enforce your will the way that they were. They ran right at Micah Parsons. Like, they took Micah Parsons out of the game early on yesterday. I don't know that they're going to be able to do the same thing against some of these bigger Miles Garrett's that'll be coming up on the schedule. They weren't able to do it, obviously, against Chris Jones. Chris Jones established they sort of stopped that early on against the Chiefs in week one. So I think this was a little bit more opponent specific.
Is there a more mentally fragile team than Dallas? And I look at Philadelphia. I think I can look at Chicago maybe and see some of that. I might throw Miami in there, but as far as if we come out and do to you what we want, you will break and you guys will bitch and you'll turn and you'll scream at each other. And that is an MO for this Cowboys team going back now, I feel, for as long as I can remember since Jerry Jones has been there in the post-championship years. It seems like if the Ravens are built the way they are and they could play 17 teams built the way the Dallas Cowboys are, they'd be 17-0 no matter what that thunderous comeback looked like in the fourth.
Strong agree. It was sort of goofy in the fourth quarter. Like, not to pretend like it didn't happen. It was sort of goofy, right? Justin Tucker misses a 46-yard kick. The Cowboys recover an onside kick that hit Zay Flowers in the hands. Things get a little goofy after that point. But to your point, yes, they were flummoxed. I mean, they were done. They were screaming at each other on the sideline. It's the same Cowboys. It's the same stuff that always happens. Now, part of that is they're a one-dimensional football team. They can't run the ball. If you take away CeeDee Lamb, and the Ravens in the first half did a great job. That didn't continue in the second half. The Cowboys were able to get some things figured out with Nate Wiggins, the rookie, in coverage. But if you can take CeeDee Lamb out of the game, what is their second path to beating you? Like, what else do they do if they're not feeding the ball to CeeDee Lamb? They are extraordinarily one-dimensional. So, yeah, to your point, on top of the fact that there's almost sort of like this emotional baked in, this is who we are. If things don't go our way, it's not going to happen. Add now functionality-wise, what are you going to do, throw the ball to Brandon Cooks 12 times a game? Like, they don't have another option for beating you offensively than just throwing the ball to CeeDee Lamb constantly.
I don't mean to step on you, Tor, but Soroka there, boy, is in the chat, and he wants to know when we should be concerned about Justin Tucker. He's missed 3 field goals this season, right?
It's not just that he's missed 3 field goals this season. It's that he's 1 for his last 7 beyond 50 yards. It's that he's missed as many kicks overall in 2 years and 3 games as he did in the entire 5 years leading
up to that. He's worse.
Yeah. Look, and it's not good. I mean, like Justin Tuck in the standards, it's not good. The guy that mentioned earlier that Brandon Aubrey made a 65-yard kick, like, that kick might have been good from 70. And then the Ravens missed a 46-yard indoor kick and then wouldn't even try a 57-yard kick later on in the game because they're so scared of whatever is going on with Justin Tucker. Yeah, I'm with Josh. There's something real happening here, and there's no easy solution to it because when you cut the guy, he signs with Buffalo, he becomes Justin Tucker again, and he kicks your ass in the playoffs, and you're paying him. Like, there's a real issue that you're dealing with there, and you can't hold an extra roster spot for a kicker to try to work it out. So you just got to hope that it gets fixed in the coming weeks. But like, it's prolonged now. It's not just 3 kicks this year. He is not the same dude that everybody was talking about as a future first ballot Hall of Famer.
Glenn, I know you have to keep your eyes closely on the division. Shoot and I were talking about this yesterday. Do you think that the Steelers should stay with Fields moving forward? Yes. Or just, okay, gotcha.
They should trade Russell Wilson to Darnold's MRI comes back, or Miami needs a quarterback, or Tennessee, they should trade Russell Wilson right now.
Tor, I feel like we talked about this last. I thought it was nuts that they ever feigned that Russell Wilson was a better option at this point than. And I don't look, Justin Fields, I still think, has limitations. But Russell Wilson didn't throw the ball further than 5 yards downfield last season. Like, everybody talks about how he had a bounce back season last year. It's because Sean Payton figured out one thing: don't attempt to throw the ball downfield. Now, you can argue that this Steelers team, as constructed with that defense, you could survive that, right? Like, just try to run the ball, make throw some passes over the middle and see if you can't win games anyway. But the mobility factor, I thought it was nuts that they ever were going to try out Russell Wilson over Justin Fields as their starting quarterback. It made no sense to me. I don't think they have a choice but to stick with him.
I was talking about this. You know, I'm sure we'll discuss the Panthers and the fact that now Andy Dalton is Andy Dalton in 2011 and Bryce Young is a piece of shit. But if you have a strong coach level, good organization, good fan base, home field advantage. I mean, these are things that we take for granted, but tends to work out. And I think like the Steelers are the epitome of that. That's why when Kenny Pickett is horrific, you're still going to win 9 games. Justin Fields, he can make plays. He can run. He's got a laser rocket arm. Like, he's not the best, but he's better than what they had last year. And with what they had last year, they were good enough to be a playoff team. That's why, you know, I feel bad for these teams, these quarterbacks like Darnold, like Baker, that have to go from corrupt franchise to corrupt franchise before they finally find their happy place. But when they do, it doesn't shock me that we're seeing these guys on all garbage. Like, if Jason Campbell or Patrick Ramsey got to end up with Sean McVay, do we think their careers would have ended the way they did? Probably not.
I think it's a very fair point. I know you're more of a Pittsburgh baseball guy than a Pittsburgh football guy, Chad. I know.
Worship at the altar of Skeens.
Right. Let's go Bucks. I understand the whole thing. But no, I've been to a lot of games in Pittsburgh over the years. They play that stupid Renegade, you know, stick song, Renegade.
Sure it's stupid.
It's okay. All right. I will give you. It's one of the great songs in classic rock history. I'm not going to argue that point. But I hate it, obviously, because I've had to listen to that stupid song. And every time they play it, everybody always says, well, watch what happens next. I turned the game on yesterday. Immediately, first play after that damn song, there's TJ Watt getting another sack on third down because you can't explain it. It's just a thing that exists. You go there, that moment's going to occur, and it always works for them. They're a well-run organization. They have, to your point, a built-in home field advantage. They don't make colossal mistakes that set them back years upon years as a franchise. They don't make quick decisions to fire coaches just because it's not fun in the moment. Like, they do things the right way, and it always tends to work for them. So, yeah, I always thought that Justin Fields would be a good fit there and that they would be a threat because of it.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Would you move on from Wilson? I mean, I don't know what the fuck the Dolphins are doing. I don't know why they haven't. About Brady, but you call him, you call Ryan Tannehill. Anyone you think has a serviceable backup that isn't using them right? You call the Raiders about Gardner Minshew. I'd call about Joe Flacco in Indianapolis. Yep. I don't know how you can just, we're going to sign a guy off a practice squad and we're going to elevate a guy, but he's inactive. Like, you still have enough talent to go to the playoffs, and they're just kind of treading water right now. And I realize Tua's situation is different and it's nebulous and you don't want to be disrespectful. You've given this guy a big pile of cash, but God damn it, man. The fact that they don't have a sense of urgency and then went out there yesterday and performed the way that they did. I can't imagine that if you're the Steelers, it's like, hey, can we get a fourth round pick? You don't have to pay this guy anything. I would be sniffing around right now.
It really is crazy to me. We talked about it with the Browns and moving on from Joe Flacco after last season. Like, they were fearful of, well, we can't have a quarterback controversy in this city because we are paying the other guy so much money that it has to work. And it almost feels like it works that way with other teams. To your point, the Dolphins don't know exactly what's going on with Tua. So are they thinking, well, we don't want to create a situation where there's a controversy. controversy where what if someone comes in and plays well, and now we just paid this guy a bunch of money to be our quarterback. He says he's ready to go. It's like teams are terrified of that. Yes, trotting out Skylar Thompson is insanity. Now, somebody would say, was it insanity for the Vikings to think that Sam Darnold was going to be the answer going into the season? And, like, you know, that's a fair point. Like, some of this falls on coaching, and maybe they had an amount of hubris that Mike McDaniel could get something out of whoever the next guy was. But clearly this guy ain't it. Yeah, if I were the Steelers, I would be inclined to listen. At the same point, they also know a thing or two about quarterback injuries over the years. I mean, they had a guy that missed like four games per season every year. So my gut would tell me that they still think it's valuable to have a backup that they're not having to pay a whole lot of money to. And as long as Russell Wilson isn't putting up a stink about the fact that he isn't starting and causing problems, then they're probably inclined to hold on to him.
Glenn, I got a quick one for you. Who do you think stops doing their podcast during the season first, Micah Parsons or Deebo Samuel?
I don't think either one of them is going to stop. I mean, like, it is actually crazy. I tell you, there was a moment, I don't know if you guys saw it. So Marlon Humphrey is sort of that guy in Baltimore, right? Like, he talks a lot. He actually had a pretty good day yesterday, but he does a bit where they win a game and he goes on Instagram Live and like walks around the plane and like tries to interview all of the other guys on the team. And like five of them are into it. And the rest of them are like, dude, what this
Lamar wasn't into it.
Bingo. And you could just sense like how much he was not having it. Like, bro, we nearly blew a 22-point lead today.
We're 1-2.
Yeah. And you're on here trying to, like, are you out of your mind? And it just seems like some of these guys are so separated from any of that. Like, you bring up Mike, like, I just don't know that these guys, they don't care. Like, reality doesn't hit them in the same way. They're like, look, I'm wealthy. I just don't give a rat's ass. Like, I don't care.
All right, let's transition because it actually is a good transition to this. I don't know how you feel, Glenn. You never covered Antonio Pierce, I don't think, either with the Giants, but he was down here in Washington. Everybody liked him. I think that's why he got the gig. Everyone liked him. Those players fought for him. You had big name guys saying, yep, I ain't going to sign here unless Antonio Pierce is our coach. I think we saw, whether he's right or not, I think we saw the bloom come off the rose a little bit yesterday after that horrific loss to Carolina. This is the clip I'm sure everybody has seen by now. Antonio Pierce talking to a reporter about some of the players' activities.
The team just didn't seem to show up tonight.
No, they didn't. I think as the game went on, I don't think it was a team. I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions and will make business decisions going forward as well.
And so I've heard multiple players, ex-players, talk about this, and they all said the same thing, boys. It was, that is a huge accusation. Whether it's true or not, for a head coach to publicly say that players are not out there for the team, they're making business decisions, it's kind of like tanking. We all know that it happens, but you don't bring it up in person. This is week three. It's a coach that those guys fought for. I still think he can be a good head coach. I love the fact that you see all these ex-head coaches around him, like telling him, guys that have lost and won and coached in different ways. But Jesus Christ, that is that's a bold statement to make when you're the leader of men out there. Now, they pulled the receipts. There's clips of guys giving up on tackles, and I think this did happen. But that is a very early for him to go to that well and basically accuse the other guys of going into business for themselves.
I wonder, Chad, if we're seeing a new generation of coaching where X's and O's are not as significant as psychology is. And I think that you point out, I think D'Amico Ryans is another example of this in Houston, where Antonio Pierce believes he has this locker room so much so that he can just speak honestly about this stuff and not feel like these guys are going to turn against him. That he can just, hey, why, let's cut the BS. We all know what happened out there. You know what you did. We all saw it. Let's deal with it. We need to talk about it. And I'm going to call you out for it. It'll be a different thing if they actually cut players this week or, you know, something along those lines. I don't know. But, man, it is a lot. That's a bold thing to come out and say. And to the point that they just won a football game last week. They're not 0-3. They just had a great win on the road 1 week ago. I get this was deflating, and you did it against Andy Dalton, which makes it worse, but it seems over the top. It just makes me wonder if it really is almost, again, coaching hubris to the point where he thinks he knows these guys so well
so damn well that he can actually call him out and say, look, man, we're all going to be honest. You know what you did. I know what you did. Why hide from it? And let's go. Let's talk about it.
I see Pierce as being like finally for the Raiders, a BS detector in that head coaching position. Because every time they try a new guy, it seems good. And then it all starts falling apart because maybe Vegas is too fun. Maybe Oakland, you get too distracted. And now there's you have an ultimate competitor, and you could see the lore from his high school teams putting up 99 points and still having to run sprints after the game. You could see that he was an NFL player, and he seems to be a bit of a hardo that understands that being okay is not okay. And if you're coming in to be a Raiders head coach and you're looking at the track record recently, why would anything that they've been doing previously be acceptable in the new locker room that I'm trying to build? So if it means I'm going to be a little more militant and I'm going to really call you out in front of everybody, I think that's a strategy that I could get behind after trying to bring this boat wreck up to the beach.
The problem that I have with that, boys, is, and I see what you're saying, Tor, and I'm 45 and never played at this level, but I've watched football my whole life. Joe Gibbs, Bill Walsh, go down the list of Bill Belichick. Great. Having composure, Mike Tomlin, keeping a level head, not screaming, how about that, Chiefs fans, you got nothing to say, see ya. Like, that guy's a circus clown, and because of it, his team is completely inconsistent. His quarterback is a head case, and they have enough talent to probably win 10 Super Bowls. They're not going to win any with him as the head coach. I just think being the man in the room, even when you have the credibility of being an ex-player, staying level-headed and keeping your composure is something we don't do a lot of anymore. There's a video that I saw off the Browns doing this gigantic coordinated display in the end zone where the interception gets called back. They didn't even get the fucking play. And it's like, well, you used to not want to do that and get shown up and look like an asshole. And now nobody cares about that. And if Antonio Pierce is clearly a leader, he's clearly respected, but let's act like the most important dude. It's the speech Al Pacino gives Jamie Foxx in A Given Center. You're the goddamn quarterback. Well, above that is the coach. And even if you believe guys are going into business for themselves, I think you take them aside in the locker room. You don't say it and air out a dirty family business in front of all the mouth-breathing yokels.
Yeah, that feels like the easiest thing to say is that's not the place, right? And like a lot of coaches would say, I don't. I feel like I'm talking to my team in that moment, so I won't do it. I won't. That'll stay in private. I don't know if we're just at a place now with a new generation of players that are all more and more extraordinarily wealthy and live online, that like he feels as though the next level to coaching is we got to cut out the BS.
Right.
Like, and this is one of the things that I appreciate the most. And Chad, I think you and I are similar in that way. Like, we don't need six meetings about this topic. We can handle this once. Like, let's just do this. Let's talk about it. I don't know that the players will respond that way. It might very well be that he does not have that relationship that he thinks that he has with them. But there is something to be said to me about honesty and something that's refreshing about, like, we don't need to hide and lie about what was going on here. Y'all know what you did. Let's talk about it. Let's deal with it. And let's see what happens moving forward. I do think it's completely different if, you know, they end up cutting three guys this week. Like, guys are going to make business decisions in football. You're not getting rid of business decisions in blowout games in football. That's never going to happen. I watched the Cowboys. There were multiple players that made business decisions against
midway through the first quarter.
Correct. Yeah. That's going to be a part of the game.
But Tor, we talked about Malik Willis with Cakes and with Sean Salisbury. Lamar sitting there on that IG video being like, dude, what are you doing? Like, it makes me appreciate those guys more. Hey, Malik, are you the Titans did you dirty? You want to get back at them? They got me in this league. I got a bunch of paychecks. I got a great opportunity. Thank you to them. He continued that, went in there, did them dirty in their building in front of 35,000 screaming Green Bay Packers fans in Nashville. It just makes me appreciate those guys that much more because they are that generation. You know, they could succumb to, God rest his soul. I always go back to this. What I said on the radio about Dwayne Haskins taking selfies in the stands, it's like, yeah, he's young. Yeah, things are different. Yeah, he grew up with smartphones. Why are any of these other quarterbacks doing this? Why is he the only one doing it? So why are we making excuses? It's not disrespectful to hold guys to a higher standard. And I think when you see Lamar do that, when you see Malik do that, it's like, okay, good. That's the way you're supposed to handle yourself.
I am very much, again, this is probably the libertarian in me. I'm very much like, you do whatever you, if you're winning, if you're playing well, do whatever the hell you want. Live online. Do whatever you want to do in those circumstances. And look, it's obviously good for us in this business that there is more content, that there is more stuff that we can talk about, all of those things. But to the point, 1,000%, like, I have great respect for Lamar Jackson. It's one of the things I've talked about over and over again. That dude, the moment he got drafted, said, I have a singular focus. It's winning the Super Bowl. He doesn't do ads. He doesn't do, now he's on Twitter, and it's actually ironic that he's one of the few guys that like runs his own Twitter account and actually interacts with people and is very silly in that way. But he is not perpetually online. He is not living a meme. He really does get pissed off about losing. He really gets pissed off about barely winning. And I appreciate that. It doesn't guarantee he's going to win a Super Bowl, but I do appreciate that about him.
All right, let's talk about Bryce Young. Let's talk about Andy Dalton. And let's talk about what happened yesterday. I mean, the eater of worlds was Bray Wyatt. I guess maybe now it's Andy Dalton. He should be charged with domestic violence for Bryce Young's trade value after yesterday. And I get the optics. Bryce Young has zero touchdowns this season. Andy Dalton had three in the first half. Deontay Johnson's out there looking like a Pro Bowler. I'm not calling him Chuba Hubbard. He's all over the place. Thielen had a touchdown, but it's a 14-year vet that's been able to prepare, that knows the offense coming in. The other team is, first of all, not very good. They're not expecting as much. It was the perfect opportunity for Dalton to do this. And I think he's not going to have another opportunity like this. We know the book on Andy Dalton. We know how it's going to go if he has to start for the next 10, 15 games, whatever it is. I don't know if I'm the 49ers or if I'm the Dolphins or if I'm one of these teams that was interested in trading for him, that I look at that and it's any type of condemnation on what I think Bryce Young could eventually be. But the optics of it, Jesus Christ, they look like the greatest show on turf after looking like a completely inept franchise in 6 days. I understand why people were freaking out today.
Dude, I think it's a fascinating conversation about opportunity cost, right? Like that this is, it's a good thing to Andy Dalton look good and the Panthers look like they have life. But to your point, the opportunity cost is trying to figure out if they have a franchise quarterback or not. And they don't have a franchise quarterback in Andy Dalton. He's not going to be the guy long term. And I think that's what's impacting these teams making these decisions. We go back to the thing with Joe Flacco. Like, why wouldn't one of these teams that doesn't have a quarterback want to start the season with Joe Flacco as their quarterback after seeing what he did a year ago? And it's because they think the opportunity cost of trying to figure out if they have a franchise quarterback, if you're the Denver Broncos, and maybe it's difficult because he was there once, so you'd have to be admitting failure. But if you're the Denver Broncos, you're really not better off trotting out Joe Flacco for a little while. I know Bo Nix looked better yesterday, so maybe this is a bad example. But Bo Nix looked like a mess for the first 2 weeks of the season. Wouldn't you be better off? They think it's an opportunity cost. We got to figure out if we have a franchise quarterback or not, because if we don't, then we have to keep fishing for a franchise quarterback. It's sort of this all or nothing that's existing now at the quarterback position in the NFL. You either have to have Patrick Mahomes or you have to have somebody that might be Patrick Mahomes, and there's no room for us to have an in-between here. It's what makes the Sam Darnold thing so fascinating. It's bucking the trend, right? I don't know that Bryce Young can't play in this league. I don't think he should have been the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
I think there were enough limitations that we knew that answer, and it's that desperation for quarterback that led to that being the moment. I think that's thrown off a lot of the way that we view players. Like, we view him through the prism of the number one overall pick in the draft. Well, imagine if he wasn't, how do we then talk about Bryce Young, who it might be reasonable to think it's going to take some time for him to figure out if he could be what we see now in Sam Darnold or what we see now in Baker Mayfield in the future?
What was so glaring on the field for me yesterday was Andy Dalton. Like, he felt like a MLB pitcher with different pitches. Like, his fastball, I haven't seen a ball in Carolina fly as fast as it did yesterday. I mean, he was putting it on a rope. And then I go back and I look at some of these Bryce Young passes. He's just touching. He's just trying to throw touch balls all the time because that's what worked in college. It's the NFL. You gotta be able to put one on a string and deliver it over the middle. And Dalton, who has seen everything and gone through everything, knows what to do in what situation. And whether or not he executes as well as he did yesterday throughout the rest of the season, which I don't think he will, he has a feel that Bryce Young obviously does not have yet. And I don't know if Bryce Young, seeing how bad he had played for the first year and first couple games, if sitting and resting really would have helped him. Because if you don't have that fastball in your bag and you're just throwing curveballs all the time, eventually you're going to get shelled. And I think he started getting shelled early. So it might be he needs as many reps as possible. He needs to absolutely work his ass off to have an NFL arm at this point, because it looks so different between a real NFL arm and the college arm for so far in the season.
Well, Tord, do you think it's good then? Is there any value in him sitting there and watching that yesterday? Is there, if you're fragile, if your psyche is already dinged, which it has to be, I don't care how much confidence he has in himself, and then you watch another guy that's washed, that's been a backup now for as long as he's been a starter, go out there and light it the fuck up with the same guys that were frustrated throwing their helmets down the week before, how is that any type of a building block for him to recover with?
Oh, it's got to be incredibly painful. It's got to be super humbling to have every nice thing in the world said about you coming out of college and then see Andy Dalton throw a pass just like that over the middle. Yeah. Where it's just, that's an NFL ball. 40 yards out, put it on a rope, and it's going to go right into your receiver's hands. Bryce Young I don't think he has the ability to do that now. Not saying he can't do it in the future, but he has to become he has to transform into a Kyler Murray 3-point shot, all green lights merchant at that point, where Kyler Murray will drop back and throw it in the bucket and it'll land exactly in the bucket. Whereas Bryce Young will try to throw it in the bucket and it lands at the receiver's feet or in the defender's hands.
All right, Glenn, we've kept you too long, but here's a good question. We can preview tonight's Brian from Natural Red, $5 super chat. Thank you so much. We do accept super chats, you chintzy bastards. Hit the like button, you cowards. Thinking of betting big on the Bengals tonight. Any reason not to? I saw amazing discussion on Ray's Hail Twitter about how disrespectful the line is tonight against a winless team. Get fucked. There's not one person on earth that doesn't think the Bengals are a better team than the Commandos, especially with T. Higgins coming back. What are we betting tonight, boys?
Yeah, I would bet heavily on the Bengals tonight. Look, man, this is football and goofy things happen and we can all say the nonsense we want to say, but there is no world in which the Bengals don't look like they're becoming the team that we thought they were going to be, right? Like, I get it. It didn't work out in the end against the Chiefs, the pass interference, the whole deal. But, like, they look like the team that we believe they're going to be. This seems like the moment where they turn in that team. Yeah, I'd be heavy on the Bengals tonight.
Yeah, it has to be the Bengals. It wouldn't surprise me if T. Higgins gets, you know, reindoctrinated into the season with 2 touchdown catches and Jamar goes for a long one. It could be an offensive explosion, especially seeing how Washington's defense is not taking themselves seriously again.
This is the coordinated celebration, boys, that I was talking about, where they broke this out after an interception that was called back and then the Giants went down the field for a touchdown.
Well, at least it worked out for them in the end. At least that's not embarrassing. They didn't lose at home to the Giants or anything like that.
I have to say, I thought that the collision, the pillow caps, the concussion faces, whatever those were my least favorite thing in football. I thought that the defense just doing their job, and then we have to sit through them performing Hamilton in the end zone for the next fucking 15 minutes. I can't tell you how much I fucking hate that, guys.
Even you, a thespian? Even you, Chad Dukes?
You know, I lettered in it, but I wouldn't. You know what? During a theater performance, they don't just break out a football game in the middle of it.
I wouldn't mind that, actually, if I was in Wicked and they started doing an Oklahoma drill. I think I would actually enjoy that. Yeah.
I mean, Taylor Swift, look, I just want turnabout as fair play. During a Taylor Swift concert, I want, you know, the Monday Night Crew to pop up and then just start breaking down games. Because if I got to be subjected to Taylor Swift, they should have to be subjected to that.
I do think it would be fair that we get to watch Andy Reid punt, pass, and kick highlights in the middle of a Taylor Swift concert. I do think that that would be the fair trade-off.
What did you think about Seth Rollins starting that feud with was that T.Y. Hilton that he actually took a bump from? Right.
It's a good bit, man. It's such a good bit, and he's the best. I can't believe we did this entire thing and we never talked about, like, you inviting me into the bathroom when you would make toilet when we lived together. What? I can't believe that we did this entire
thing. Look at Tor's face. Someone who's received it, those invitations.
Many times.
When I say invite, I mean demand. That's what I meant to say.
Look, man, we had a show prep. I didn't have a lot of time to spare back in those days.
To use the time appropriately. Or how we did a weight loss bit and I had to be the one to be in there on the scale with you because you had to be naked for the segment.
That's true. I'm like important. Chad Puffy Dukes is who I am. I mean, fucking pork. The second
how much baby oil you got in the house?
Let me tell you something, Glenn. I don't remember any of that. And I believe you 100%. But I feel bad. Torres had it light. Like he was with me after I was a broken man. I was just at the beach house with the door open and I would scream at him to bring me toilet paper. Fuck you. I'm not doing like he didn't get that it was a bit at the time. He thought I was just being a pervert.
Chad would demand, he would scream. And not just in fairness, it wasn't just me. I was not singled out. It was everyone in the house. Anyone who isn't at the house at the time had to come into the bathroom.
Hey, Antonio Pierce, can we keep some shit behind the fucking curtain? God damn, dude.
I'm making business decisions.
He really is. Putting all my shit in the street.
Amazingly, I make that abundantly clear. I loved that time in my life. I had not that part uniquely. Although I think it was bonding. I think.
Hey, look, it led us to us being here screaming about football in front of 60 people. True. And I think that's the best we could possibly do. It is at Glenn Clark Radio on X, of course, Press Box Online, the Jobbing Out Show. If you want to hear his take on Seth Rollins starting a feud with an ex Colts wide receiver in 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Good to see you there, boy. Thank you for jumping on.
Love you, buddy. Tor, thanks, pal.
Love you too. There he is. The great Coach G. I don't think he's allowed to call himself that anymore, but that's he'll always be Coach G to me. Number one with a crab, my friend. I honestly don't remember that. I'm sure it happened because when Glenn was our producer out in Phoenix when I was doing radio, and he actually shared a one-bedroom apartment with my wife and I for several months. Well, he was looking for a place, and I was trying to hook him up, and they weren't paying shit, so... It could have been worse, Tor. I know it ain't a treat working with me, but it could have been way worse. You gotta just believe me.
Oh, I always give Shu the nod of generosity as being one of the most, if not the most generous person people I've been able to work alongside with.
It's very sweet of you. But also, you know, a lot of door opening shitting happening, which is nobody needs.
That's a drawback. Yeah.
I wanted to play this clip for you and get your reaction. That Eagles Saints game is one of the weirdest football games I've ever watched. I watched it, I think, tape to tape. I don't know who the Eagles are. I'm going to assume the Saints are closer to the team we saw yesterday than the team we saw the first 2 weeks, or just because Derek Carr is in charge and I don't know much about them. I know that every single Rashid Shaheed fantasy owner is apoplectic because they finally started him in week 3 and he didn't do a fucking thing.
Yeah.
This was a quote about a hit that Devontae Smith-Pelly took in the middle of this game that looked pretty goddamn dirty.
Man, that's the dirtiest shit I ever saw in football, bro. Y'all obviously saw forward progression was stopped. I mean, for them to take a cheap shot on one of our key players, it goes to show you what type of team that is. They're front runners.
Which one are you talking about?
Man, you know what hit that was, man. Either way it go, man. That's not. They ain't got no word for football. Y'all always talk about CD this, but let's talk about how they playing dirty on their side. But at the day, the league will handle it. They ain't got nothing to do besides we got the dub and keep pushing.
Gardner Johnson with the response. First of all, I love it. Yeah. I love what he said. Also, dirtiest shit hit. Hilarious. The Eagles were so perplexed, Tor, about how dirty that game was, considering how dirty the Eagles' reputation is. But Saints have been a dirty team for a very long time, and they tried to eliminate one of the best players on the other team. I don't think there's any argument to the contrary if you saw the hit. I got no problem with what he said.
Yeah, this game had a lot of fallouts, not only about the dirty hits, but
not a lot of ball out.
No, definitely not. But Gardner Johnson also said about the Saints after, they ain't no contenders, they're pretenders. They have Derek Carr. Remember that. Now, ooh, glass house here, buddy, sure. Okay? Because you just lost to the dog shit Atlanta Falcons a week ago. So I don't know why you feel like you have all this ammo now.
They're not dog shit. Would you call your dad, please?
A good weekend with him. It was nice.
All right, that's good.
Didn't talk about Atlanta once, thank God. But I think that this is maybe a crazy weird win that could reinvigorate Philly because it was a weird game where it came down to a Dallas Goedert 3rd-and-16 break off for 40 yards down the sideline in an odd win, and Barkley had to step up multiple times. I don't know what to make of Philly. I don't know if they're good. I don't know if they're garbage. I think that the Saints will regress to the mean eventually, and they had two good weeks, and they came out and they had a good plan, and they said, F it, it's the first 2 weeks, let's go ball out. And if you want to start having to adjust to the Saints offense, which is, I'm guessing, the first time that teams have had to do that in about 4 or 5 years, then they'll start maybe just becoming an end-of-season playoff contender instead of the world beaters that everyone reacted to them to be. But seeing how Philly bounces back off of this one, and if it becomes a rallying cry to beat the Saints, will be interesting to track.
What works in the Eagles' favor is their division is some garbage. That does not necessarily work in the Saints' favor, despite what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did or did not do yesterday. 44 points, at least, in the first two games of the season, and then they score 12. David Carr, 14 of 25, buck 42, one touchdown along with a pick. I don't know, man. I think that I'm guessing teams are going to be able to figure out David Carr no matter what type of renaissance. And look, Alvin Kamara, I still think is having a great year. I think he's going to have a great year. I think the Saints will be better than we thought they would be. But the notion that there's some world beater and they figured it out because Kubiak's there and his offense is revolutionary, that probably is not the case. Mike from Don't Sleep, $20 super chat. Thank you so much, Mike. Football discussion on the internet. You got that right, Bubba. That's what we're here to fucking do. Make sure you subscribe to iTunes and Spotify and hit that like button. If you don't hit that like button, I swear to fucking God. All right. What's that tour? I'm sorry.
I was going to say that Eagles-Saints game, I appreciated how chippy it was because aside from the dirty hits and Saints playing Saints football, like Jalen Carter was having to get held back on the sidelines interacting with Saints fans.
He was out of control. I mean, that dude legitimately, and then he's so goddamn big. I mean, he might be the biggest dude I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
He's got three coaches trying to grab him and stop him, and he wouldn't stop. He was a little out of control.
Yeah, there's some maturity things that need to develop for the Philly defense, but I don't mind a defense with an attitude because I think eventually if you have a defense that wants to win a Super Bowl, there has to be some fire. There has to be an attitude. It can't just be, oh, we're the boring San Francisco 49ers defense and we're super talented, but we'll just let Patrick Mahomes walk all over us in the Super Bowl. No, having a defense that plays with energy and fight is important because it's a game of intimidation as much as it is talent.
I think the Saints are a sneaky, shitty organization. I think that building is a pile of shit. That field is a pile of shit. I think their fan base are low down assholes. And I think they've gotten so much goodwill after Katrina and deservedly so. They got their championship tour. They got a big baby face run and Bounty Gate and Greg Williams and fuck that team. So like, I never want the Eagles to come across as like they're the blue eyes and the Saints are the black hats, but I think that's what happened. So I'm glad they won.
For my fandom, seeing these two teams beat the shit out of each other and just get under each other's skin, it was perfect for me. It was awesome. Yeah, you both stink. I hate you both. I'll always hate the Saints. And watching and finally, I guess, turning around on Philly just because they're playing New Orleans is a weird feeling to have.
Bigger surprise for me was Tampa Bay waking up and just deciding we're not going to play football today. I mean, I think we'd all kind of bought into them and thought that they're taking that next step from being the team that everyone sleeps on and sneaking their way into the playoffs and sneaking the game to, okay, we're up here. We're going to sit tall with the better teams in the NFC and people are going to be aware. Did not look like that yesterday. Let me go ahead and just say thank you, Tor, to our presenting sponsor, dreamstaygetaways.us. You can see the link right there at the bottom of the video. If you're watching live, you want to go on a vacation, winter is coming. They got beautiful homes, big homes for families. They got the theme rooms. You like Star Wars, you like Harry Potter, all that. Your kids are going to go nuts. They're on resorts, so they got all types of activities and pools and water parks and lazy rivers and shit. So if you're like, damn, I don't want to spend another $700 on tickets to Disney and cut the line passes, you got enough to do at the house themselves just to get it done. If you're going to Universal, if you're going to Disney, if you want a nice winter vacation, dreamstaygetaways.us. Book through their website because you avoid all the Vrbo fees, all the Airbnb fees. Those are ridiculous. Check them out. They're on Instagram and all that good stuff as well. There is a link in the bio for the both types sports IG. All right, Tor, I've kept you too long, but we should talk about that call. in the end zone. That was a winnable game. And we now have a, I think it's very fair to say now, Tor, that we have at least the appearance of impropriety whenever the Chiefs play, because it has now been, by my count, 3 weeks in a row, if you're not even going back to last season, where there is some insane blown call that happens to just benefit Kansas City. And the analogy that I'm going to use is what was the receiver that I'm putting you on the spot here? The guy for San Francisco dropped the ball, one of the worst drops I've ever seen. He knocked it down and they weren't able to recover from that. I forget if Brock Purdy came out and was defending him. I forget the cat's name because they were down a bunch of guys. That one drop didn't cost them the game itself, because a lot of other things had to happen. At Ronnie Bell, that's his name.
Ronnie Bell, yeah.
There you go. A lot of other things had to happen. They didn't get a defensive stop. They missed a field goal. They gave up a big punt return after that drop. So it's not like that drop cost them the game, but it set it in motion. I felt like the refs tried to make a bunch of makeup calls after that horrific non-PI in the back of the end zone. And I don't know that the refs and the NFL are trying to help the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know that they need any help. But what I can tell you is that call, or lack of a call, set in motion the Falcons not winning that game, and Kyle Pitts and the Falcons not being able to pull that off. And I don't know how you can, if you watch the tape to tape, how you can come away with another conclusion.
Yeah, those last 5 minutes were very frustrating, not for the traditional reasons. I didn't want to cry about the PI call. It was a bad throw by Cousins.
It was egregious, dude.
It was bad, but you know what? It's a football game. They can't all go my way. And if I want to hold myself at a higher standard than New Orleans Saints fans, I'm not going to start writing my congressman about a missed call.
that was really embarrassing. Those are Rams, right? The Rams PI?
Yeah. I watch that clip once a month. It makes me so happy.
They are such babies.
So I didn't want to do that, but there was a narrative, and I'll yell about it all season until my face is blue. The Collinsworth narrative is disgusting this season in the booth when it comes to the Chiefs and the Kelce brothers. Rashee Rice had two first downs, and Collinsworth found a way to direct it to Travis Kelce in some format. He's questioning, where's the magic between Mahomes and Kelce this season? I've never heard anyone else describe a connection as magic. Get over yourself. NBC can't be happier to have more Kelces on the screen. But the most frustrating part is it was a call that didn't go well. And then Atlanta gets the ball back, and now it's literally three or four straight penalties to get them down the field just to set up an Atlanta Falcons blundering. It's a blundering, but that's not how that's not how a game-winning drive is supposed to go, with a horse collar tackle, a phantom PI, a phantom hands to the face, and then a fourth down stop, which was a bad play call. I didn't hate it, but it's like the only play that works for them, an outside stretch. So why wouldn't Kansas City be ready for
it? I hated that play call, for the record.
It's ridiculous. I mean, Jesus Christ, how many playmakers could you have and you do that?
Kelce, by the way, is 35 years old. You're wondering where the magic's going? Where it goes for every single player when they hit their mid-30s. It's nice to romanticize There's something special about Travis Kelce, but there isn't. He's going to be 35 October 5th, and he should be slowing down. He should be less impactful. And there's younger guys, Tor, that are actually stepping up. So that's not a bad thing necessarily for the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, by the way, they're undefeated.
Yeah, he looks heavy. He looks slow. He had a pass where I don't think 27-year-old Travis Kelce lets Jesse Bates come across his face and swipe that ball out. I think he high points it and really holds it tight and gets a first down to ice the game. He didn't do that. He dropped it like a big, big fat dummy, like I would if I was catching that out route. There's something about when you have the best team in football, you're going to be under a microscope for every call. And I try to take that bias out and just watch the game as it is. But if you hear the commentary about the game and you hear how lopsided it is at times, narrative wise, because Atlanta is not nearly as exciting as Kansas City. They don't have the storylines. You don't have any players dating a famous actress. It's just more of a mess franchise given the quarterback disaster they've had in the offseason, which is not so much
of a objective. Atlanta's got a lot of storylines and a lot of talent this year, Tor. You're not being objective right now.
I'm glad they signed Matthew Judon for one sack in three games. That's like Mr. Red Sleeves. Yeah.
Did you notice, by the way, Travis Kelce sulking like a baby while his team's winning.
Yeah.
And like your girlfriend's not up there for you to point at and do all your stupid gesticulations, if that's a word. Like, look, man, you got to be focused on, you're not good enough to be the best and you're at your position and not be 100% focused on your sport. You usually had Sauce Gardner quotes from, I think it's his brother, saying he doesn't take vacations. He doesn't drink. He does nothing but football. Travis Kelce, I'm sure he's practicing. He was everywhere this offseason. He's acting in movies. He's got projects. He's on television constantly. Your head has got to be 100% in this game to be the best. And can anyone argue that his head is 100% in the game of football right now?
No, he was just at the U.S. Open watching tennis. I still think Mahomes' head is in it. I mean, he's still playing football, sure, making absolutely. Some plays and passes. But Kelsey's like, yeah, I got my rings. I'm good.
His brother retired. His brother's having a shitload of fun on TikTok constantly.
Yeah. I think the NFL has a weird situation with the Chiefs right now because they got a lot of the – I think they burned a lot of the Chiefs drama last year where the Chiefs weren't like – they weren't rolling over teams. They had some weird bad losses. And then it's set up for them to win a miracle – Super Bowl. That's great. But now it's how do we keep the drama going? How do we keep the ups and downs going? Well, let's get them started at 3-0. And then maybe they have another bad stint in October.
You think it's that orchestrated?
I just think that it's if you really want to look unbiased, maybe don't have three straight missed calls in their favor in the first 3 weeks, because that's when people are really paying attention the most because their team is still in it. A lot of these fans, they'll go from watching their teams for a half to watching the most important game of the week in November and December. And a lot of that's going to be the Chiefs. So if you can build them up now, build the story now, generate hate or love for them, it's just going to do huge numbers, I think.
What did I say when they put Taylor Swift in that fucking promo video like 4 or 5 times and didn't put their own players? It's like the problem with the NFL when they want to put out these fires. I heard Joe Rogan talking about how we didn't land on the moon the other day. And he's like, I'm not saying we didn't land on the moon, but then he listed like 15 weird, janky things. With the NFL, the way they slurped her and the way that they took the knee last year and the way they pledged fealty to the Chiefs and did that whole thing. Well, are you surprised that people are watching these blown calls and jumping to that conclusion? It would be a lack of common sense for people not to acknowledge that. And it's blatant. And I've never heard it. Collinsworth basically came out and said, I don't know what's going on here. That was, that's a lot of contact down there. I mean, they're saying it. These aren't non-traditional avenues, different corners of X and YouTube that are calling this out. And there's some pretty mainstream voices now that are acknowledging that this, something ain't stirring the Kool-Aid days. You have to deal with that.
I'd say so. And I think maybe it's accentuated because a lot of teams or a lot of fans are rooting on their team, which is probably pretty bad right now. And they're seeing the Chiefs just continue to get away with wins, which only stokes the fire.
And also the Patriots, Deflategate and Cameragate. Whenever there's a team on top, everybody else wants to try to take them down.
Yeah.
We're seeing that with P. Diddy right now.
Oh,
you're seeing that everybody that went to a party is deleting their Twitters and coming out and saying, I didn't have anything to do with this shit. And fucking clearly it's a more extreme version of what we're talking about here, but what have you. Pleased to be following both Type Sports X and Instagram. Hit the like button and tell a friend. We'll be back Friday this week. Sean Salisbury will be with us on Friday. Torrin Sal is nice enough to accommodate my weirdo schedule this week with a big event at the end of it. All right, what's it looking like for dinner for you, young man?
Sleep for dinner, probably. I don't know. It's
sleep
gonna be
for dinner.
Yeah, let's just gonna have to eat. Walk.
What?
Just gonna have to walk this one off.
Are you gonna take a long walk or a short walk?
Oh, it'll be a long walk.
Hey, what do you got?
Both types of sports.
Yeah, what's it do? Go long, real long. Toss.
Both types of sports.
Thanks for listening to Both Types of Sports. Please leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you are listening to the show. And don't be afraid to share the show with a friend.